Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be as almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Monday edition. The Victory Monday edition for the Green Bay Packers, who have now moved in to first place in the NFC North. A four-game winning streak leading into what Tausch assured us in April would be a loss at Denver, next Sunday edition. I heard the chants, the Bears still suck, as fans left the stadium, but I think they suck less than they used to, and I'm eager to see what happens in 12 days at Soldier Field edition. And the Micah Parsons is never being held, at least according to the flags being thrown. Talk about that and many other aspects of the Packers' 28-21 victory on Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaverdale, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, the land man himself, not that he can watch it because he didn't have any other flights to go on, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Renewed for another season. I saw that breaking news over the weekend. Not Wilde and Tausch, but Landman. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you doing? How's old Jason doing today? You doing good?
Are you setting me up to get after me after 11:15? What is that?
No.
No, what? What? Now I'm asking how you're doing?
Why are we starting weird? So,
it's weird to ask Jason's doing.
What voice was that?
I'm good. How are you?
I don't know. I guess I'll change my voice. So, Jason,
no, you
how
sound
you
great.
Doing today?
The You're Packers doing look great.
Here's what I would say. Since you're not going to answer how you're doing and everything else, the green and gold and how yesterday played out. I don't understand, and I got into it with Homer, and I don't know what
I
was
heard
going
about
on with Homer.
This.
I don't understand, because you come off, and you, I mean, that was a gritty, Damian Woody this morning, I thought, said it nice on Get Up, just a great heavyweight fight where Green Bay had him kind of on the ropes, right? And the Musgrave catch that wasn't a catch maybe could have been a knockout blow. Well, they don't. And the Bears kind of rope-a-dope back and fight and scrap and compete and tie the game up. And then the Packers come back with another blow. And then finally, We got the bell to ring late with the pick. It was just, it's how you win playoff games. It was gritty. It was hard fought. It was everything you'd hope for. If you're a neutral fan of football, that was a great game to watch. If you're a Packers fan, yeah, I think you give the Bears a lot of credit. But you also say about your group, I like the toughness and resiliency of this group. And anytime someone just reverts back to, well, it was lucky.
Wait,
as a former player, I just...
Is that what Homer did?
I can't get on board when... Yes, that is what he did. I can't get on board with that. And it bothers me. And that's why what I thought would be a post-game celebration of a really good, hard-fought win took a little turn. Now, granted, I got Homer back on the course, but it took me a while. I just want to make sure everybody, from a fan standpoint, we don't get jaded. We shouldn't be jaded. We haven't won a championship in 15 years. But my point is, this was a fun, good, gritty win in a must, from a playoff standpoint and positioning. This is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. The last two games have been what playoff games look and feel like, mm-hmm. and Green Bay won both of them. Mm-hmm. You guys all remember we were 1-5 in the division last year, right? Does everybody remember that?
Mm-hmm. Certainly the Packers do.
Hey, boys, guess what we are this year?
Undefeated 4-0.
4-0. We're going to be 5-0, and then that Bear game will be a battle. So, sometimes it bothers me. Hold up one second. Sometimes it bothers me in the regard of we overreact. We lose. Had Caleb Williams, first off, I said this 100 times, and I'll say it again. J.J. Anagbare's tackle was the catalyst to winning that game. Because if they get a first down, they now have a four-play free roll to go score and win, and you know Ben Johnson's going for two. So we're either going to win 28-27 or lose 29-28. And mm-hmm. if we lose 29-28, the whole show's different. Everything's different. Because that's how sports work. You win or you lose. It's not about being pretty. You know, it's about winning and losing. And we won. And I just think sometimes we all sit here up on our perches and we overly critique and overly do all this stuff. And understanding, guys, it's blanking hard to win. That was a hard-fought win. And you see it in the locker room because those guys know. And maybe sometimes I forget about that, but I didn't forget about it yesterday. The floor is yours.
All right, so a couple things. Not lucky at all. I'm glad you reeled our crazy Uncle Homer back in. I heard about it. I did not hear it. So I'll have to go back on our socials and check that out. First of all, Damian Woody is stealing material from Josh Jacobs, who called it a fist fight. And that's exactly what it was. It was back and forth. It's 14-3, and to your point,
awesome.
And Matt LaFleur's point, they're in a position to knock him out, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. And then your point about Kingsley Anagbare, who, let's be honest, and this is not the headline from the game, and we don't have to talk about this until later in the week. But it would seem to me that if you're going to allocate resources to the defensive line, you may want to reposition the money you spend on Rashawn Gary and use it to keep Kingsley Anagbare. He's certainly a more impactful player right now than Rashawn Gary is. I thought that this was proof that this is going to be, and we still have to wait and see future games, and there's another one coming up in 12 days. But I think this is a sign that this is going to be a real rivalry for the first time in a long time. And the fact that the Bears showed the resiliency they did made it that, right? I mean, it's to your point, it's 14-3, and in previous Bears-Packers games, the Bears pack it in, and it's over. And that was not the case yesterday. I am very curious to see what happens in Chicago, because if we're being honest, Tausch, and this is the one, I don't call it a negative, but the one reality is they've got the Browns, who just lost to the Titans next week. So the Bears are probably going to win. If you are right about your when the schedule came out prediction about that Denver game, which they've won 10 in a row, they're due for a clunker. But if you're right and Denver beats the Packers, we're right back where we started going into yesterday. So that makes that game on Saturday night, December 20th, a big one too, obviously.
And yes, it does, but I'm just going to remind you of this. That could be cute. But the Bears have to play Detroit and San Francisco.
Yet. They do.
Everybody is going to be Jockey City, USA. I do believe that the Bears are going to be the odd men out of the playoffs. That's what I believe. Whether or not that happens or not. Obviously, next week, don't just, you know, right? Is that in Cleveland or in Chicago? Must be
I believe that's Chicago. They play three of the last four.
Okay, so they'll probably win that one. But yesterday was huge for the fact that you don't want to fall a game and a half behind. And, by the way, you got some tough ball games coming up, too. Obviously, next weekend will be a huge test for this team. But this team is just that they're built very similar to, I believe, how our championship team was. Because when you start – and my point to Homer where he freaked out on me was this team closes up games. Doesn't always have to be the prettiest, and you're not going to dominate every possession. Oh, well, they scored a touchdown, a field goal, a touchdown at the end. Yeah, they did. Kudos to them. But when they had to have it, did they get it? Or did, just like the Green Bay Packers in 2010-11, did Tremont Williams make a play? Did Tremont Williams make a play? Did Sam Shields make a play? Did Jared Bush make a play? All of those things happened. And right now, the Green Bay Packers, in close games, have found ways to win by closing up shop, whether it's making a great throw on 4th-and-3 last week or the defense making a big stop this week. They are, and in Arizona they made stops. So, yes, it's still regular season football, but I'm telling you, those last two games have had postseason vibes because everybody knows what's at stake.
Yeah, and I would agree with your assessment with one caveat, and that is Evan Williams, by his own admission, blew the coverage on Cole Kmet. And while you're right that Keyshawn Nixon makes the play, that was teetering on the brink of disaster. And to your point about they're going to go for two, totally agree. We could be sitting here. We are.
But we're not.
Of course we're not.
I know.
But you know that this does come down to three or four plays in every
yes.
game. And they yes. were on the precipice of this going the other way, despite all the good things they did yesterday. And that's what playoff football is. Think about how many playoff games the Green Bay Packers have lost where they did a lot of good stuff, where they should have won the game. And they didn't. And yesterday they did, so they get credit for that. But I don't. The margin between these teams is certainly not as big as it used to be. And Ben
it's
Johnson,
not, but it's still, I don't think it's as narrow as yesterday, though, either.
All right, we'll see. We'll see in 12 days.
Yeah, we will. Yes, we will.
Erica in Milwaukee on the Carbless Talk and text line. Super nice win, but 99% of national media is talking about how stupid Caleb's last pass was, not how awesome Green Bay's defense was. Well, look, the Green Bay's defense...
Jason was just going down that road.
...was not awesome.
You were just...
They made the play at the end, and Kingsley Nagbare makes a huge play. Those are undeniable. But the Bears go down, and look, the Packers' defense was exhausted. The offense goes three and out... Quick touchdown to Watson, which is obviously a great thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to score too fast. But three and out, quick touchdown to Watson, three and out. They were gassed. They gave up the touchdown to make it 14-11. They give up the touchdown to make it 21-21. And then a big time, talk about playoff behavior, the drive that the Packers offense puts together to take the lead with Love's pass to Reed, with the run that that Jacobs has, where he's surrounded by five Bears and none of them tackle him?
Has Gabe Neitzel and the rest of the crew apologized yet?
Not to my knowledge. You can check with
this
Josh.
This team doesn't need Josh Jacobs. This team doesn't need Josh Jacobs.
Really? It's a great win, and I am not going to be painted as negative Nancy about their performance by any means, but I do think the Bears are closing the gap, and I do think that this game was tight.
That's
and let's not make it sound
like,
they just closed up shop at the end, because I'm also surprised that as much as Ben Johnson is Mr. Aggressive, they got 20-some seconds left, they were a little bit laissez-faire with the clock, but I'm surprised he didn't get the first down, call a timeout, and then have four shots at the end zone. I did think
tried. He tried. He handed it off, and Eddie Barr made a hell of a play. He tried. What? You know what? Yeah, I get all this. And you're kind of – now you're – okay. I'm going to take a beat. Everybody that's trying to say what Ben Johnson did at the end, he mismanaged it. No, he didn't. Enik Barre screwed the whole thing up. That's why it's such a huge play. They didn't want to give any time. He wanted to go for two and win. If you go, and this is where Greg Olsen was right about going for two with a minute left, you don't. But with 15 or 20 seconds, you do. Because you don't want to give that team any other, you have to push. So Ben Johnson did not anticipate. I think it was Monongai, who, by the way, I love that. Is a that dude is a bowling ball. Like, he is a whoop. I like him. If they pick up that first down, they have four shots to go score a touchdown and win and give Green Bay nothing left. That's what they were trying to do, and Enik Barre put a wrench in those plans, and that forced him to make a big play to win it, and that forced Keyshawn Nixon to undercut it, make the play. So, yeah, was it a perfect throw from Caleb? Obviously it wasn't. And had he taken a beat and looked for DJ Moore underneath, that's a whole nother thing. He was wide open. But they didn't. And I don't know why we have to apologize about that. That's the part that just, it's numbing to me.
I think you're projecting onto me your Homer thing, because I'm not saying you have to apologize for that. And I'm not saying that he completely bungled the end. But you saw what your guy Monongai did in the game. So, yes, Kingsley Nagbare makes a great play. But if you still have the opportunity to do it again on fourth down and still have plenty of time to take shots at the end zone. You do.
No, you don't, Jason. But you have to use that timeout then. You don't.
But then you're throwing to the end zone on the remaining plays. Yeah.
But you have one timeout and four downs. You get tackled in bounds, you're screwed. That's why that tackle that forced the Bears to use the timeout was so huge. That's what that's the part. That's why I've been raving about that play, because it set the domino or butterfly effect, whatever it is, into success, and it got him out of the plan that he had. You see?
They call timeout after the hit by Enik Barre. That's their first timeout. They have two timeouts left, Tausch.
And if they run it to pick up the first down, they have to use another timeout, left. You know what I mean?
Yes,
and now
I
you
do.
Got four downs in 25 seconds.
You
and
just
one
said
ball
they only
in
have
bounds,
one
it's
time.
Over.
Yeah, okay. They have two timeouts, and there's 27 seconds left after Enik Barre makes the play. I am not undercutting the value of his play at all. I'm saying they could have gone a different direction, and they had plenty of time, because they're on the Packers, 14-yard line at the time?
Yep.
They can throw to the end zone repeatedly. Now, that also opens up the possibility of Micah Parsons enter Sandmanning them and getting a sack and ending the game that way.
So,
I get
Jason,
it. But he chose to put the hand. He chose to put the ball in his quarterback's hands, the same quarterback of whom he said earlier in the week that they were winning in spite of their passing game.
So, Jason, and this is why that play, and I'm not saying you're undercutting the value of that Enik Barre play, but here's why it was so critical. Because what you're saying is, well, you could have done other things. They couldn't drop back and throw. 70% of his throws yesterday are play action, Jay. Because he knows Caleb Williams ain't going to stay in the pocket.
Yeah,
and you're going to let your guys hunt. So to sit there and say why that play was so big is he knew on fourth and one, if we pick up a first down and hand it to Manungai and he picks up 4 yards, timeout, 23 seconds left, they know from 14-yard line they ain't going to get in because you're going to have to do drop back. You're not going to have the play action pass stuff. That's why it all goes into the same thing, and that's why I just am raving about how big that play was, because look at what it ended up forcing the Bears to do, because they were limited with what they could do, all because J.J. Anagbare went down the line of scrimmage, and I don't know, Manungai is a barrel of a dude. He's going laterally, Manungai's going dead straight ahead, and Anagbare stopped him stone cold right there. Like, I don't know if you realize how tough that is. Like, that was a game-changing play. The interception was cute, no doubt. But Anagbare won us that game in that end. He was the closer on top of Keyshawn Nixon. That's all.
Kingsley Anagbare played 39 defensive snaps. Rashawn Gary played 40. Kingsley Anagbare is a better football player right now than Rashawn Gary. That's my hot take
this.
For today.
I'll say this, Ben Johnson bootlegged the heck out of Rashawn Gary, and he would have done it. He wishes Rashawn Gary would have been in there on that run.
He gets the first
down. I know that.
Mm-hmm. Kingsley Anagbare is awesome, and so are Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
That's a really good transition because it's true, and it may be hard to find a good bargain during the shopping season, but Pella, they want to make sure everybody's holiday is brighter and clearer through beautiful new windows. Pay zero interest for up to 24 months. At Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, sure that your home remains comfortable before that brutal post-holiday winter. Santa's magical, but his elves, not as much. Pella's elves, they install year-round and can finish installation in as little as a day. Hurry up, this deal ends December 31st, so schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions do apply. See showroom for details.
We'll get to the carbless talk and text line, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll get to your thoughts on the Packers' 28-21 win over the Chicago Bears. Matt LaFleur now 12-1 against Chicago, and the Packers are in first place. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
It's a very big win. Obviously, just to where we're at in the NFC North and the division that we have. And, you know, I think we got some really good teams in this division. And obviously the Bears were on top, so we knew what it was coming into it, and it's a huge win. And obviously, you know, we'll be seeing these guys again here in a couple weeks.
That is Packers quarterback Jordan Love, who, God,
man, he was good yesterday.
I love, he was damn near perfect after the interception, which he took full responsibility for, which is always enjoyable.
What did you say happened? What did he say happened on that? Just didn't see him?
He said it was a bad decision. The ball came off his hand poorly. Can't make that mistake. And then he basically atoned for it at every turn. Three huge touchdown passes, 23 and 41 yards to Christian Watson, 45 yards to Bo Melton. The two Watson touchdowns both are off of checks that he makes at the line of scrimmage to those throws. He was awesome yesterday. And anyone holding a ticket for the MVP voting, unless Matthew Stafford starts to slow down, he's in a really good spot to cash in for you guys.
Yeah, he's third on that list. And, boy, for all the people that said Christian Watson doesn't make a difference on this offense, they look like idiots, don't they?
Let's get to your calls, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Let's start with Caleb in Grafton.
Did you guys not hear me?
Careful.
With my Christian Watson take?
Hey, careful, buddy. I'm still holding that Jordan Love ticket for you. I can hide that.
Hey, Jason, did you not hear me just say, for all those idiots that said Christian Watson doesn't make a difference on our offense, they should maybe be rethinking their sports takes today? Or you just blew by that like it was, I don't know what, but you just blew by it. I just want to make sure everybody can hear me, right?
Oh, my gosh. Did he actually freeze?
I think he did. That's why I asked. I'm sitting here like, that's a great shot for Jason to throw a pot shot at you. And he's sitting there like, what the heck's going on?
All right,
let's go to a caller.
Yeah, so we're going to have to reconnect with Jason. Something's wrong with the internet up there in Green Bay. That'll happen from time to time. So, yeah, let's lead off with Caleb and Grafton. You're on Wildy and Tausch, which is just Tausch today. Good morning, Caleb. You're up first.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you? Happy Victory Monday.
Awesome. How are you?
Hey, I'm phenomenal. Always good to beat the Bears. Hey, I want to start with a couple negatives and positives, and then I have a question for you, Tausch. So, glad you stayed on. So, Josh Jacobs is not a negative, but I would like to see him get downhill a little more. He kind of dances a lot in the backfield. And something I really like about Emmanuel Wilson is he just plows through. Like, he gets 4 yards on first down, just hard running. Josh Jacobs,
Caleb, quick question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Quick question for you. When he was dancing around on that third and one little pitch out to the right, were you saying, you need to get downhill? And then when he got downhill for 21 yards, did you say, atta babe, atta babe?
Oh, no, again, this is not saying we don't need Josh Jacobs. I love Josh Jacobs. Just like on that, like on the first down before Watson's second touchdown on the slant, where he got like 2 yards, he kind of danced in that backfield a little bit just to run downhill if he's going up the middle. I think that'd be great.
Okay.
Second, I think we let Caleb Williams have too much time a lot, and now granted we can get into Micah Parsons getting held and whatever, but we also let him escape the pocket because our edge rushers got too inside. And if our edge rushers can keep the edge rather than getting too inside, I think we keep Williams from escaping the pocket a bit. And then special teams, we're good for one special teams playoff or penalty, at least one a game. That's got to get fixed. Who knows when that'll happen. But LaFleur, huge, huge positive. Not going conservative after Love's interception or his pretty bad sack on the second series. That was huge. He's showing he's got trust in Love. And going play action on the Christian Watson second touchdown, we were begging for some play action in our little watch party. And that play action to Watson, great creative play calling. LaFleur, huge positive. Love, obviously, huge positive. I got to give good credit to our edge tackle or our defensive backs. Good tackling compared to last week. I thought they did a really good job keeping explosive plays at a minimum in the pass game. And it's just, again, always a positive to beat the Bears.
So absolutely. Thanks for the call, Caleb. Jason, how you doing?
I'm good. Ran into some technical difficulties there, apparently.
That happens.
Awkward timing of that, too.
That was perfect, actually.
I make a great point, and you just blew by it like I still haven't come up with a good analogy. You blow by it. But we didn't give Jesse any grief about him saying that Christian Watson's irrelevant for our offense.
You're right.
And
we
he
didn't.
He did say that. Okay.
I think he compared him to Alan Lazard. Or was that Romeo
Blew
Dobbs?
By him like Watson on a slant of what's his name? That's a good one, Josh. Yes. So from now on, it's just blew by. Gardner Johnson. Blew by him like Christian Watson, 22 miles an hour. That's moving, old boy. That's moving, old boy. That's special speed. But now, that doesn't make a difference in our offense, Jesse.
Jesse, would you like to respond to this, since apparently we're going to keep discussing it until you do?
I think Christian Watson is a fine receiver. He's probably going to get a contract extension with the Green Bay Packers. I think he'd be best if he was a number two receiver with that kind of speed, because his speed is really good. I don't know if he has the separation, the go-get-it nature of a true number one that we see from A.J. Brown and some of the other top receivers, CeeDee Lamb. I don't have to name all of them, but he doesn't feel like he's on that tier. He is a good wide receiver, and the offense has been good, as many have pointed out. It has been better, and it looks like it flows better when he is on the field. I wish he could be on the field more consistently.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. The only knock you can have on him is his injury history, because when he's on the field, he is a field-tilting player. And he is dynamic. Unlike anyone else they have. They ran him out of the slot a bunch yesterday. There aren't many people that look like him and run like him and are built like him who play slot wide receiver in the National Football League.
Yeah, and Jason, to your point there, to that point, I thought Tom Brady was really good yesterday. Like, I think he is – the improvement he's made from his first start as an analyst to where he is really good. And I don't know if it was him or Big Game Burkhart – that talked about how LaFleur raves about how smart Watson is and how he can put him in every different role, and that leadership in the room and all the things that we've talked about with him, just another layer. I don't, because we are getting caught up in, you know, the decision making of Caleb Williams and the great defensive play, and I'm sure we're going to get into the holding of Micah and Jordan Love, how great he's played, and Jacobs. Watson, again, just unbelievably dynamic. The big chunk play that we saw, I don't know why teams don't just sit in too deep and force Green Bay to run the football and be patient like Carolina did, but I'm certainly glad that's not the route the Bears went with yesterday.
I'll be curious to see how they alter their plan with Dennis Allen on December 20th on
this.
That Saturday primetime.
I know this. They're not going to put C.J. Gardner man-to-man on him with no safety deep and showing cover zero blitzes. I don't think you're going to see a bunch of that in the near future.
Yeah, I think I want to hit the reset button a little bit, because listening to Caleb's call and seeing that our Mr. Positivity north of the border, Ricardo, is next in line, I think by discussing the way the end of the game played out, it set a tone that I don't like, because I'm reading some of the YouTube commentary as well. They won the game. Yeah. Like, there are so many extremely positive storylines from that game, and I feel like we got a little bit caught up in our disagreement about how the Bears handled, and just apparently I guess I didn't find Kingsley and Igbaré's play, even though I said it was an enormous play and I agreed with you, huge enough. So I want to hit the reset button.
Well, yeah, and get Jason, some more. Just for the record, I'm not in the YouTube chat, but you went on a very hot take for you in saying he's played a lot better and needs more reps than Rashawn Gary. Correct me, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that is what you said.
No, that is what I said, and I think that's probably, I don't know how hot that take even is, frankly, because it looks pretty obvious to me, and I think the Packers coaching staff is trying to figure out ways not to say negative things about Rashawn Gary, because he has not been a
factor. Well, I'll tell you this, Jason, and I'm not going to compare anyone to Micah Parsons, because he is one of one, but just watch the when Caleb got out of the pocket and he was able to pick up the first down pretty easily with Rashawn chasing him. And then he actually had more of a step on Micah. And Micah closed him up. I thought he blew his knee out the way he had a pa-pa-pa-pa and then throw it away on a very similar rollout. Again, nobody's like Micah. Nobody. But that was very telling. And then you saw the same thing with Enikbare on the other side. So that is, I'm sure, something that the Packers are putting in their little data point system that they, I'm sure, run.
We had Racine Danish Kringles at the Tundra Trio yesterday. A myriad of the flavors, including their new holiday flavor, peppermint brownie. And there were folks that were asking, hey, can I still get my entry in for Jingle for Your Kringle? Yes, of course. Got another week to go before the deadline. It's time to grab your phone, sing into it. Make sure you include their signature phrase. It's not just a treat, it's a tradition. Make sure you keep it under 60 seconds. And make sure you send it to ESPNWisconsin.com. Go to jingleforyourkringle.com. That'll reroute you to where you need to go to enter your song. It's our third, fourth year. I lose track. It's been so popular. And if you win, you will receive Kringle for a year from Racine Danish Kringles. And if you don't want to sing, but you still want to celebrate the holidays with Racine Danish Kringles, just give them a call, 800-4-DANISH, or go to the website, kringle.com. So go to jingleforyourkringle.com, send in your song, and then go to kringle.com and place your order for Kringle. It's Racine Danish Kringles and Wilde and Tausch. We'll get to more of your calls, starting with Ricardo next. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
I mean, this league is just so competitive. The balance in our league is crazy, and you just can't take it for granted. And no matter who you're playing, where you're playing, when you're playing, you better bring your A game. And if you don't, you're going to get beat. And so I think we've all learned that and felt that.
That is Matt LaFleur after the Packers' 28-21 victory over the Chicago Bears Sunday at Lambeau Field. The Packers now in first place at 9-3-1. In the NFC North, they are not atop the NFC yet, as both the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks are 10-3. Right now, I believe the Rams hold that tiebreaker, but they, I think, have to see each other once again later
in
the season.
Play each other in 2 weeks, yep.
Let's get back to your phone calls on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Let's get some positivity going. Let's talk to Ricardo in Canada. Ricardo, good morning. How you feeling today?
Uh-oh. Not Ricardo.
I thought it was me.
Ricardo, if you're there, you're on mute, buddy.
I needed his positivity,
yeah,
too.
After all that.
We've been a good job.
All right. We'll fast pass him back in line when he calls back. Let's keep going, and let's move down. Here's a guy I'm sure will be positive. It's Mike in Texas. Mike, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. How you doing?
Hey, doing great. So to me, this game, when the first half of the game, I thought, man, the Bears are frauds. It seemed like the Packers were just going to roll over them, dominate. And yeah, and, but then the second half, it's like, oh boy, here we go. The defense is allowing the Bears to look good, going down the field, eating up the possession. And then obviously the Packers got a win. They pulled it out. And so, you know, and I'm thinking, like, are the Packers that much better? Or what happened to the Packers' defense in the second half, you know? I mean, great, they had a great start, great half. And I think when they go to Chicago, that would be a good test to see how much better, or maybe they're just equal because, you know, playing away. But I think definitely Jaden Reed helped the team out a lot. Having him made them much better. Nixon, you know, got a little emotional. You know, it looked like he had that penalty, which he didn't start it, but he started the jawing.
He reignited it.
Matt LaFleur chewed him out. Yeah. Okay. So it looked like Matt LaFleur was chewing him out. I mean, obviously he got caught, but still. Okay. So, you know, I mean, he's good. I don't know how good he is as far as a cornerback, but he's an emotional element. Maybe that helps with their defense. I think right now they seem to be better. Obviously, they're better as far as division. They've improved upon last year as far as division record, division playing. It's still obviously too early to say, are they much better until we get to playoffs?
Yeah, look, I don't know. They're 4-0 in the division. Like, I know the Vikings look like they should be relegated, but not yesterday. They didn't. They won 31-0 at home.
Washington's mailed it in. Let's be honest.
And they lost their Washington lost their quarterback again. I get it, but
yep.
And at least for a team that looked like it was spiraling, that's a step into, hey, maybe J.J. McCarthy can be decent enough that we can win a couple more games this season. We'll have to wait and see. The Packers close the regular season at Minnesota, who I wouldn't expect would have anything to play for at that point other than pride. So that's not necessarily a bad thing, but we've seen the Packers in Aaron Rodgers' last game lose a game where their opponent had nothing to play for then either. So they have to make sure they take care of business in that one. But they're 4-0 in the division.
They were 1-5, and only because of Carl Brooks' middle finger that they weren't 0-6 in the division a year ago. So
can you show us that middle finger? How does that work? I don't know how that works on the interweb. Can you do that?
I may have been showing it earlier off camera. The reality is that they're a really good football team that is finally hitting its stride. Like, think back to what this show was after back-to-back losses to the Carolina Panthers, in which they scored one offensive touchdown, and then to the Philadelphia Eagles, in which they scored only one offensive touchdown. And people are asking if Matt LaFleur is coaching for his job. Matt LaFleur, yep. Hey, look, they still have to win in the playoffs. I'm not saying that he's the perfect coach. I'm not here to carry water for him. The reality, though, is that he has figured some things out. He's got a bunch of players now that are stepping up, including Jaden Reed, who they did not ease back into action yesterday. I mean, he was in on six of the first series
plays.
Hey,
what happened? Is old boy hurt? Or because I was shocked that Wicks...
Yeah, he played six snaps.
What, did he take five reps yesterday?
Six snaps. He's got an ankle injury now.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what, man. Let me ask you this. Would Reed have gotten the same reps if Wicks was healthy?
Maybe a slightly smaller number, but I think probably most of Wicks's snaps went to Bo, who played nine offensive snaps. And look, Bo Melton...
Gosh.
I mean, the dude, people, like, did you see the way, I don't know which players you can think back to during your career that were that beloved, but you would have thought that they had won the Super Bowl based on the sideline reaction to Bo's touchdown.
Because he's a great team guy.
He is
and he
a
does
beloved guy on that team.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
I see Ricardo has returned. Ricardo, good morning. Welcome to World of Tosh. How are you doing?
Hello?
Hey, Ricardo.
Ricardo, you're lucky.
How are you, boys and girls? Everyone good today?
We're doing great, Ricardo. Can you get us a little positivity? It feels like Jason's down in the dumper a little bit.
Gentlemen, I am indulging myself in some green and gold Kool-Aid. It is extra sweet today with the tears of Bears fans all over America. I love it. What a beautiful day. The sun is shining. It's minus 20 Celsius in Toronto, and it could not be hotter weather. This is amazing. Come on, boys. We're first in the NFC North. Our rightful, the king has returned. We're back to rule where we should always be. This is our rightful place. The sun is shining. Okay, enough of this nonsense. This is a team, boys. And the reason why I'm so excited about this team is because we are winning on merit and not despite of certain facts. You know what I mean? In previous years, we'd win, but we had a bad run defense. We had horrible special teams. We couldn't do certain aspects. This year, we're a much more complete team. Run defense, on point. They got gas in the second half. It wasn't up to par, but they got gas. We needed to extend drives on offense. They got tired. It happened. But guess what? All I asked my team on defense to do is get one more stop than the other team. They did that. Win column. I go to the playoffs. One thing I want a quarterback to lead my team to make plays in the pocket, to command this offense. Jordan Love, MVP level. Get that off the checklist. We are winning on merit and merit alone. LaFleur, flowers out to you. You're finally coaching and calling plays for the team you have and not for the team you want. What I mean by that, the ball, vertical now. No more horizontal behind the line of scrimmage. No, we're going downtown, all right? That's how we roll, all right? That's what we got. We got speed demons. We got guys who attack the ball. Look at Musgrave, for Christ's sake. The man, three games in a row, he's had an impact. Get the ball down the field. Linebackers cannot cover him one-on-one. That play yesterday, that was a catch. I don't care what they call it. That's a catch. They took it from him. You know what I mean? Evan Williams took that ball from him. The refs were killing us in the first half with those penalties. Nixon got the first penalty on Nixon, bad on him. The second one, they just baited him. That was a ridiculous call. It should have been both sides. Because the man, held him by the throat. What do you expect him to do, walk away? No, I get that. But you should have been smarter. It is what it is. We are winning, boys. We are first. We went to the gauntlet of the NFC North where everyone has, ambitions of winning the division. No, Packers came into town, slapped everybody upside the head and be like, listen, relax, okay? Get back to the kiddie table, all right? The big boys are here now. Enough is enough, okay? Boys, guess what? Now we're going to go to Denver. We're going to take care of business in Denver because that's what we do. Then we're going to go back to Chicago, prove to them again, hey, guys, listen, you're still 2 years away from being 2 years away, okay? Don't give me this nonsense, all right? We're going to the Super Bowl. We're going to win the playoffs. I'm hyped, boys. We're first in the division. Let's go. I got number one on my mind. Let's go.
There you go.
Has there been – thanks for the call, Ricardo, and welcome back. I don't know if in 2025 it reminded me of the olden days when they first brought back replay. And if your game wasn't a highly regarded contest, they had fewer camera angles than other games. Yeah. Like, oh, we're playing on Monday Night Football. We'll have extra replay angles. The replay angle they had for Musgrave's catch, non-catch, there's a guy's head in the shot. That's the only angle they had?
Well, what was weird, I thought the same thing, but it was like, what is this, Rutgers-Purdue on a Thursday afternoon, on the Saturday morning game? Like, there are no other, oh, we can't afford a pylon cam. And then it was just so willy-nilly, like, oh, nope, we didn't catch it. You called it a catch on the field. Show me something that it wasn't. The
zero
interception
evidence.
To Evan Williams, the ball never hit the ground. It's either a catch,
right,
and he had it.
How
could
the pass be incomplete if it never touches the ground?
They had to send a few extra cameras to the Big Ten Championship on Saturday night. They didn't get them to Green Bay in time.
Rinaldi could have brought him with them.
It was an odd, like, that call sucked. Like, the other reason I like too is, you know, about this win, I don't feel like we didn't, obviously no holding calls on Micah. I'm not as enraged about that as Packer fans, as some Packer fans probably are. But the interception and the catch to Musgrave, what are we doing? Like, the interception, if you wanted to call it a catch and just keep it that way, I would complain about it, but okay. But the ball never hits the ground. Evan Williams does a fantastic job of ripping it from, I think it was Loveland. I don't get that either. And the fact that now we're just coming back from commercial break and saying, yeah, it wasn't a catch. Yeah, that was it. And then just move it along. It's weird.
Not only that, Craig Rolstad, the referee, he never even said that the Packers were.
Does he start with a W?
It does, yeah.
W-R?
W-R.
Like that.
He never even said that the Packers were challenging it. Like, he said it was reviewed because he said it was a fumble. Now, it was a challenge, but unless there's a fumble change of possession, it's not an automatic review. He never said there was an expedited review. That he never explained that. And then the Musgrave one, they showed it both on TV and in the stadium. There was never a good angle to overturn it. And let's be honest, Luke Musgrave needs every catch he gets. And they should not have taken that away from him. All right.
Yep.
The officiating left much to be desired. The Packers' performance was much more impressive than the officials.
I do want to give him a shout-out on this, Jason, though. They caught the Bears yelling the snap count. They could have called the false start. They nailed that one. So I'm not going to sit here and just rip on the refs. They did get a few right, too.
The first question.
Another sneaky play, Jay. When Bo Melton offensively pass interfered, that was a smart play by Bo.
Savvy play by a cornerback who never plays corner.
Indeed.
His knowledge
indeed
of both sides of the ball, though, paying off.
Right, because instead of an interception, it's a penalty that they decline, so the Packers will punt anyway. So that was that was another smart play by Bo, who, let me just let Michael in the YouTube comments know, no one here is suggesting that Bo Melton should play more than a healthy Dontavion Wicks because everyone loves Bo Melton. I get it. But Dontavion Wicks was not healthy yesterday. So that's
Did
why
that
Bo Melton played
practice,
more.
Or was that last
no,
week's
it
game?
No, it happened in the game. I talked to him on Friday. He was fine. So he no, there's something must have happened during the game. I have not gone back to watch yet.
During yesterday's game.
Yesterday's game.
Six reps.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Must have been early
Boy, because
in the game.
I was very curious after last week. Like, that sucks for him because he has been up and down. You have stuck with him. And the game he played against Detroit was so blank and good. That's why I was shocked he wasn't out there. And then I'm thinking, well, Jaden Reed, you know, he deserves it too. But you got, I thought they'd ease him in a little more. And until after the game, you find out he got hurt. It sucks for him because, boy, all of a sudden, now you got to start thinking, should he be out there with Reed and Watson? And if Romeo Doubs isn't in your plans in the future, his reps start getting a little bit diminished.
He had
like,
one target yesterday.
It is a funny little puzzle, and it didn't work. And I'm sure he's probably not happy about it, would be my guess.
At some point, and this is not something that I want to get into today, but I'm also very curious because I talked to Matthew Golden for an extended period on Friday, and his affect was very down in the dumps and frustrated with his injury issues. And he, I'm sorry?
Did you put that on Channel 3000?
I haven't written it yet. I was going to write it during the week here. But he, because I didn't, because frankly, I didn't think he was going to play. And I have to figure out a way to ask Matt LaFleur today, are they allowing guys to say they can go more than they did before? Because we've got the thing with Lucas Van Ness. We had it with Carl Brooks as well a couple weeks ago. I was shocked when Golden was active based on the conversation I had. And then he plays five snaps, and then you don't see him again. Like, has there been a philosophical there's the game where they bring McManus back, and his quad is clearly not better, and he misses a bunch of kicks. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm curious whether or not there was the game early in the season when Zach Tom played and he played one snap in Cleveland. Has there been some sort of shift of letting guys have a little more input, because it seems to be happening a lot more. So I'll see if I can figure out a way to not sound like I'm questioning the medical staff and ask Matt LaFleur that. What I never would question.
Kind of sounds like you are. Kind of sounds like you are questioning.
I don't want to sound like I am, but I am. I'm never questioning your love of Coors Light.
No, Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it is made to chill. I saw Jim, Matt, and Molly post some videos up at Lambeau yesterday, all decked out in their Coors Light, sucking down. And I didn't have to worry yesterday about those mountains being blue. You know those cold-activated bottles and cans were chilled to perfection watching the G&G. As Ricardo said, the Chicago Bears. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company. A Golden, Colorado. Ooh, the boys will be out near Golden, Colorado on Saturday and Sunday. Huh?
You should go meet them out there.
Yeah, maybe I will.
You won't.
I can't, but I'd love to. I've been out to Golden the last two summers, bro. Beautiful out there in the summer. Probably a little chilly in the winter.
Drinking Coors Light at Red Rocks. We will get to more of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
It's true.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
That is the Carbless Talk and Text line. Liz is more. We are on the verge of full phone lines. I think we're one short. So if you want to get in now, but you're going to have to wait. So be patient. We're going to get one call in here before we kick off the 10 o'clock hour, and it goes to Jaymon in Dallas. Jaymon, good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing today?
Positive. Very positive. How about you?
Very positive. Nothing negative about the game, really. Just overall, just the team coming out in the second half, just staying consistent. But, I mean, like Tal said, it is the NFL. any team you play is going to be, these are guys who get paid millions of dollars on the other side, so it's not going to just be a cakewalk. Mm-hmm. I honestly think a lot of the disappointment from the team, or a lot of disappointment from a few Packers fans, and just hearing, I think it comes from just overall this game feel like it should have been won way before the last few seconds, I mean the last few minutes of the fourth quarter. But like, definitely like the first drive for the Packers, feel like we kind of punched ourselves down the throat. Definitely could have went down there, scored the first drive, made a statement. So it was a few plays where we kind of just left hanging out there, and I guess it's where a lot of the fans are kind of a little disappointed, so we beat up on ourselves. But this is Green Bay football. You know, we get in, we find ways to win. We're 4-0 in the division, getting ready to take over the North again. You know, all the haters, all the Detroit fans and the Chicago fans who was talking all the smack. Shove it up, and you know what? Ben Johnson, I don't know if you guys seen the handshake last night or yesterday, but
loved it.
I'm sure Ben has something to thank. Yes, loved it.
Petty little fella.
I thought it was phenomenal.
Ben has something to think about. but overall, great game. A lot of people are now talking about Jordan Love, and I think a lot of people forgetting this Toyota Thun Love now. And Jordan, feel like every week we're saying that was his best game, and that was his best game, and that was. Here we are saying it again. Last night, mm-hmm. even though he threw an interception, might have been his best game. You know, so, I mean, put him back in the MVP race. Green Bay's looking great right now. Like I said, just staying consistent on defense. But we have studs everywhere. Hopefully we get into the Denver. Tausch, I'm a little upset with you because we took Denver at the beginning of the year. I know a lot of people probably still have Denver winning, but I'm not sold on Denver just yet. Hopefully the Packers, you know, go in and handle business. I really don't see what will be a problem against Denver. I know they have a good defense, but offensive-wise, I think our defense is better. I mean, Evan Williams, Quay Walker came back yesterday. You could tell we missed him. He came in, did what he needed to do, stopped the run game. So, with this overall great game yesterday. So, nothing negative, really. Go Pack, go. Let's 1-0, let's get this game against Denver, and then we go beat Chicago and end the season.
I love it. I love the positivity. Yeah, I don't think we're probably focused on Quay Walker and the defense from the run defense perspective, but it took the Bears 32 attempts to get to 138 yards. This is an offense that put up 281 rushing yards on the Eagles. And while I agree with Tausch, put up the sign, Monangai is he's such a weird good running back because he's a bowling ball, but he's little. Like, he's not like a big – he's not built like Josh Jacobs. And yet they could not tackle him. I thought it was really impressive. And so for them to do that, I mean, I think Walker finished with 9 tackles. Edger and Cooper finished with 11. They didn't have any splash plays like Kingsley Igbaré or like Keyshawn Nixon on the interception.
How about the meat in the hole, crack the paint, and chip the helmet hit? How about that?
That was
the old school. That John Fazenda needed to be doing that, and that is where that was rock'em sock'em old school. What did we used to call it? The Central, NFC Central Black and Blue mm-hmm. Division.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that was yesterday. And I don't think they recognized it right away, and they went back to it like 6 times. They had replay for that, but they didn't have replay for Musgrave's catch. Found that funny.
Not a replay without the back of some guy's head on the sideline in it. You can't get legal. Well, I suppose you could. I don't think David would take the case for the paint chipping hit, but he will take your case if you've been seriously injured in an accident. Grubel offices, one call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more. The 10 o'clock hour begins in 2 minutes with more of your calls. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.